Chapter 2. The New Organic Capacities of the New Consciousness. The lever of consciousness, when well used, can open the way for the transmutation of our entire being. The initial objective of the spiritual school of the Golden Rosicross, referred to in other parts of this book simply as the school, is the transformation of consciousness. Its founder, Jan van Rijkenboer, in the book De Gloria Intacta, The Christian Mystery of Initiation, alluded to this transformation as a fundamental change, the basis for carrying out the transmutation proposed by the method of modern initiation. In the previous chapter, we saw that we can understand this transformation as a change in the three attributes of the natural egocentric consciousness, thus allowing the manifestation of the new consciousness. The process proposed by the school for this manifestation starts from the most ancestral and central archetype of human beings, the absolute principle at their core, which we call the spirit spark. When people's degree of self-awareness has matured enough, they awaken to the fact that the core of their consciousness, the core of their I, cannot be the foundation on which they will build a new consciousness. It is at this moment that people become seekers. They open themselves to the touch of the absolute, to the touch of the spirit spark in their being. This touch is the only indispensable condition to start the process of transformation, as it is the sign of the maturation of consciousness and that a new organic development has become possible. The manifestation of a new state of consciousness lies beyond the borders of natural egocentric consciousness and can only be achieved by inner awakening, not as a natural evolution of the present structure of the I consciousness. Let us now consciously delve into our inner world to see how this fundamental shift can take place. The fundamental shift triggers the emergence of three new organic capacities, which allow the three fundamental attributes of consciousness to function in organically different ways, as if three new inner senses had been awakened. They are the identity of consciousness, the objective perception of itself, and the power of free and autonomous manifestation. The identity of consciousness is made up of two poles, the universal pole integrated into the whole, and the individual pole separated from the whole. The current stage of our consciousness is characterized by the strengthening of the individual pole, which is the condition for individuals to separate from the group and become aware of themselves, perceiving themselves as a core of self-consciousness, independent of the morphic field of the group to which they belong. In the initial phase of self-consciousness, the strengthening of the individual pole of the identity of consciousness generates the very strong phenomenon of identification, an irresistible attachment to oneself, a process of total adherence of the individual pole of identity of consciousness to the newly formed nucleus of self-consciousness. At this stage, the core of self-awareness functions only from its individual pole of identity. Its other pole, the universal and integrated pole, becomes invisible, disappearing completely from the field of the inner vision of the consciousness. In other words, the universal and integrated pole of its identity disappears and only its individual and isolated pole is perceptible. Devoid of the universal aspect of its identity, consciousness is wholly immersed in the illusion of its individuality, what we call I. This explains all egocentrism, which is the ultimate distortion of the core of self-consciousness, believing that its existence is completely defined and limited by the individuality of the I. The magnetism of the individual pole of consciousness becomes so great that it can be compared to the suction force of a black hole, a magnetic force from which not even light can escape. For this reason, only a much greater quantum of gravitational force, a much greater and more powerful force emanating from the universal and integrated pole of the identity of consciousness, can reverse the seemingly dead-end picture of the black hole of self-centeredness. In the initial and infantile phase of self-awareness, the universal and integrated pole of consciousness, the spirit spark, remains invisible and dormant, awakening only when the egocentricity of the individual pole of identity reaches its maximum limit of saturation. If the gravitational force of the I can be compared to the force of a black hole, the power emanating from the core of the universal identity equals the gravitational power of the entire universe. For this reason, all the great ones of the Spirit have always affirmed that for those in whom the core of the universal identity, the Spirit spark, has awakened, the process of transforming consciousness is irreversible and will always culminate in the victory of the universal over the individual. The final victory is always assured. It is also for this reason that the effort of those who follow the path and who are in the phase of the birth of a new identity is never to suppress the illusory self by themselves. In addition to being an impossible mission, it would only cause foolish and useless suffering. The effort of the pupils of the spiritual school of the Golden Rosicross carried out consciously consists of looking at themselves, observing themselves, to gradually recognize what in them comes from one pole or another of their identity. It is the conscious effort to recognize, on the one hand, what comes from the unfathomable well of the black hole of the I, whose irresistible suction force seeks to engulf everything and everyone around it in an insatiable desire for security and self-affirmation, and on the other hand, what in them comes from the other pole of their identity, the universal, integrated, and non-identified pole, from the absolute, from the spirit spark. This is the first and most important effort of consciousness. In this effort lies the secret of all transformation, which is why this must be the constant effort of the seekers, so that their path or pupilship advances on the path of transfiguration. The first attribute of consciousness, the attribute of identity, acts as a powerful energy conduit. However, the energy of consciousness is never neutral. It is always polarized, that is, it works from a sense, an orientation, a direction. This means that the quantum of force needed to transform consciousness does not come from insisting on forcibly changing something based on a direction or orientation that clearly does not work. It would be like insisting on working twice as hard to lift a weight that is beyond our capacity. The effort required is of another nature. It consists of realizing that within us there is already an infinitely superior power, a power that is capable of performing unimaginable feats for the individual, an identified pole of our identity. For this other power to come into play, the polarization, that is, the direction of our energy flow, must change, and this can be done by changing the orientation of our identity. To make it easier to understand what we are saying, let us compare our consciousness to a lever made up of three parts: the longer part of the rod, the shorter part, and the fulcrum that divides the rod in two. In this example, we can imagine that the long part of the rod is the universal identity pole of consciousness, the shorter part is the individual identity pole, and the fulcrum is the core of self-awareness. What would be the position of the lever in an individual state of consciousness, and what would be its power to move the great stone of your own state of consciousness? We could see it as a large and long lever, with a support point completely displaced to one of its sides, positioned almost at one of the limits of its rod. Imagine now that you want to move a gigantic rock with this lever. If you place the long end of the lever under the stone, thus bringing the fulcrum closer to you, even using all your strength on the shorter side of the lever, you will not be able to move the stone even a millimeter. However, if aware of the importance of the lever's orientation, you place its smaller rod under the stone, moving the fulcrum away from you and leaning on the larger rod of the lever, the stone will look like a feather and you will move it almost effortlessly. Assuming the rock and the lever have not changed, what caused the results to be so different between the two situations? This concerns the orientation of the lever and the position of the fulcrum. A process analogous to the one just described occurs with the transformation of consciousness. The principle that allows for the transformation of consciousness is, in essence, as simple as the example of the lever. If we try to bring about the shift in consciousness by placing all our efforts on the individual pole of consciousness identity, the I represented by the smaller rod, we may do our best, but the stone of our egocentric state of consciousness will not budge even a millimeter. However, if we recognize the other pole that has already become active in us, that of the universal and integrated identity of the absolute, of the spark of the spirit, represented by the longer rod, and we have the courage to let ourselves be guided by the powerful force that emanates from it, we can change the polarity of our identity by reorienting our consciousness. In this way, we no longer try to move the stone from the side of the eye, which desperately strives to carry out the task of the spirit spark. In the exact moment of inner lucidity, when we realize the madness of our self-centered behavior, we are already changing the direction of the lever of our consciousness. We place the smaller shaft of the lever, our eye, as a servant beneath the rock-hard reality. We place the core of our consciousness on the ground of reality and not on our fantasies, and upon it we apply the immeasurable power of the longer shaft of the lever of our consciousness, the power of the spirit spark. And so in wonder, we see how the stone of our state of consciousness moves and transforms. The secret of every path of all the highest mysteries is to recognize the two sources of identity, the two sides of the first and most important attribute of consciousness. From the superior reason which allows the flow of the infinite power of the universal identity, the individual identity becomes capable of transforming itself. The first new organic capacity of consciousness has just been described, which is the only solid foundation of inner construction. It is true discernment, self-knowledge, which is the ability to recognize at every moment which pole of the identity of consciousness moves us. When this first new organic capacity is gained, it allows the two other capacities to manifest as well. The new power coming from the spirit spark gives consciousness the ability to discern, to perceive the infinite veils of its own projections, and thus, step by step, it frees itself from the vicious cycle of its infinite thoughts, feelings, and reactions. The second new organic capacity of consciousness is then born, which is the objective perception of itself. The strength of the new identity, now united with the new objective perception, allows the new consciousness to manifest its third new organic capacity, the power of free and autonomous manifestation. The automatisms, with their repetitive and conditioned behavior, gradually give way to a totally new functioning of the three attributes of consciousness. The strength for a new attitude towards life spontaneously springs up in the seeker's consciousness, a strength that allows them to transform themselves into true servants of the light. Thus, the new consciousness is born. Now we propose that the readers reflect on their ability to recognize the different poles of consciousness in themselves. Which pole of their consciousness predominates over the situations that arise in their day-to-day life? And if they have the courage to place the individual consciousness of the I in the service of the universal consciousness of the Absolute itself. We guarantee that no fancy solution will fall from the heavens onto their lap. However, we can assure you that if you find the courage to apply the correct guidance of your consciousness to all the recurring issues in your life, your attitude and your habits, they will all yield meekly in time. And just as the great stone of our eye consciousness necessarily yields to the irresistible power of the spirit, everything will happen in the only right way, under the lever of our changing consciousness. May we have the courage to do what we know needs to be done.